at the 2020 Underground Collision in Washington, D.C. on top of the Hay Adams Hotel. The White House is right behind us. And look who's right here with me, Mr. Pablo De Filippi from Inclusive. Pablo, well, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. So you were just up there talking about the physiological needs. I'm hurting. Does anyone care? So what was kind of the main theme up there?
Well, I think that the important thing for us as an industry is to realize that we are not perfect. Mm-hmm. That as much as we have grown, we're not that relevant in terms of the entire economy and in terms of the entire society. You know, we post great numbers in terms of growth, but that growth is kind of limited to a segment of the population, and we forget that we have a huge, a vast opportunity in the marketplace to be not only relevant, but also to be more impactful.
Mm-hmm. How do we get there? How do we get to be more impactful? How do we get to be more relevant?
I think that it's a matter of empathy. It's also a matter of understanding. I think that there's a lot of misconceptions around serving low-income people, for instance. You know, when I say low-income people, you know, the first reaction is like, ooh, that is not me. Nobody wants to be low-income.
They don't want to be that, exactly.
And that's totally fine.
Right, right.
But we have to accept the fact that low-income people are working people. I live in Madison, Wisconsin, and a school teacher with a master's degree, when she gets into the system, she's low-income. And she will be low-income for 10 years. So when I say low income, it's not some welfare person. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about working people who deserve our respect. And everyone, welfare people deserve that respect as well, and those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can do as a system.
Right.
And what's even more important is that this is all sustainable. You know, we've proven, you know, with research that these markets fuel growth and relevance.
Mm-hmm.
We have a program at Inclusive called Juntos Avanzamos, which was started actually by the Texas League. And CUNY just did an analysis of the 100 credit unions in that network, and they have grown in average 30%.
Wow.
Loan demand is huge, yeah. up the roof. Mm-hmm. So what does it tell you? It tells you that there's a huge unmet need in the Latino community, mm-hmm. and the same applies to low-income consumers. Mm-hmm. The same applies to the African-American community. Mm-hmm. So I think that when we talk about this DEI, you know, what we should be thinking about, market opportunity. For us, DEI is not just something you embrace and you come up with a nice, you know, statement about it.
Mm-hmm.
You do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is to provide services to
them. Mm-hmm. And should we recategorize low income? Should we, is it a matter of semantics? Should we give it another term or something like that? Because it does kind of turn people off, I guess,
It does.
And they don't want to be portrayed that way, you know?
Nobody wants to be portrayed like that. I mean, the beauty of this country, and I came here as an immigrant, is the promise of opportunity, mm-hmm. upscale mobility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So everyone comes here low income.
Mm-hmm.
You move up, right? And how do you move up is by having access to tools. When we look at, you know, when we think of a checking account or a loan, those are actually asset building tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for many people, those are kind of a given.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the empowerment that comes from having a credit card. I can tell you, credit card, that it took me 5 years to get it. And I felt like, you know, that I had made it. Just because someone believed in me.
Yeah.
And that's really the power of what we can do as an industry.
Right.
You know, I think that we have that ability to influence people's lives beyond just one transaction at a time.
And I think that the bigger picture is that it really affects the economy in a positive way when you empower people like this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It has an impact on the institution.
Mm-hmm. Community.
On the community, for sure. And on the members, you know, so it's a triple, you know, level impact, and it raises everyone,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is the opportunity for us as an industry, and I think that we're a little bit closer because of Maurice Smith, you know, crusade to really get the DEI conversation up in front.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that we have now the opportunity to understand that when we say DEA is not to make people feel bad about it. It's to understand and recognize that we have a long way to go. Mm-hmm. But by doing so, we're going to cement our future. Indeed. Because if we're not with the, you know, minority communities today, we're going to be out of business in 20 years. The Latino community in 2050 is going to be 120 million people, double the number of today. If we're not with this community, we're not going to be around.
That's right. You're exactly
So this is the time to make these connections, and many Canadians are doing that.
And when you make that connection in the community, in the Hispanic community, oh my gosh, you
Exactly. Look, I mean, one of the most amazing examples is Latino community in North Carolina. They were established in the year 2000. They closed December 31st, 2019, with $500 million in assets. So you go zero to half a billion in 20 years. You know, how many Canadians can say that?
Great example.
But then you can say, you know, for other Canadians like Guadalupe, you know, in New Mexico, they have grown tremendously because they realized that their future was tied up to the Latino community in Santa Fe. Yeah. So these are opportunities that we all as credit unions can and should be looking for, you know, and capitalizing on.
Agreed.
People need us.
Agreed. Great message to end on. Pablo, thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. Well,